Welcome to Blurred Vision Reviews. I'm Greg.
And my name is Harry Hole. I'm a brilliant and driven detective with unorthodox methods, a classic loose cannon in the police force.
And a severe drinking problem.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, but I think I need to re-stress that my name is Harry Hole.
How do you spell that, Harry?
H-A-R-R-Y-H-O-L-E. You can call me Mr. Hole.
Detective Harry Hole.
Detective Hole.
Yes. The name's Hole.
Fuck. The name's Hole. Harry Hole.
We're going to talk about the snowman.
I was having a case of the Mondays on a Friday. I asked Greg and Tony if they'd seen a good movie, they should send it my way. And they made me laugh. They seemed to read my mind. I thought, hey, these reviews, they're a pretty good time. Well, it's better than having the blues. It's better than having dog shit on my brand new pair of shoes. And it's better than watching my grandfather while he watches the news. Blurred Vision Review.
A woman vanished last night. We just found the body.
Prince?
And the head is missing. He calls himself the Snowman Killer. He's completely insane.
Keep the front door open.
I'm thinking that he's going after women that he disapproves of.
What's that tricky grinning? Come on down.
The only thing we know for sure is that he's playing games with us.
We need a way to lure him out.
Careful. We don't know what we're dealing with. He's been watching us the whole time. Building snowmen, cutting things up into little pieces. He's taunting us. If we don't find him, this is never going to stop.
Another missing woman.
There's something we're not seeing.
What matters most is that we celebrate the way this has brought us together.
Anyone can see that he's trying to hide something.
You can't force the pieces to fit.
You could have saved them.
No.
Gave you all the clues.
All right, Parker, what's up, my homie?
Oh, you know, man, just thinking about that great film that I saw yesterday, and
it's every once in a while you come across a film that just changes your perspective, okay?
Yeah, man. Who knew that Harry Hole would be the one to change my whole perspective on the world?
Yes, changed your whole 2017. That's
yeah, man.
Let's not beat around the bush here. Let's just get into it here. This is 2017's The Snowman, starring Michael Fassbender as
Harry Hole.
Yes. Rebecca Ferguson as Katrine Bratt. And J.K. Simmons is in this as RV Stop. And Val Kilmer playing a detective, like Gusto or Rafto or something.
Yeah. And the writer of the series on which the film was made, or on which the film is based, Joe Nesbo, was supposed to have a small cameo, but his scenes were cut at the last second.
And we'll tell you if it's because there was just too much good stuff in it or they just didn't
also
know what they were doing.
What the fuck? They got Charlotte Gainsbourg to be in this too.
Yeah, she was Raquel.
I know. She was his wife. I mean, or girl, ex-girlfriend, whatever. But Jesus Christ, man.
And they
like,
got...
Charlotte Gainsbourg is, like, a good actress. So J.K. Simmons is talented.
Yeah.
Fassbender's a good actor, too, although he makes some weird choices on what to star in.
They even have Toby Jones in this, too.
I don't even know who that is.
He's the little evil scientist in all the movies.
Oh, yeah. The guy who just looks like an evil scientist.
Yep. So this is based off a Norwegian novel. Apparently it's
a series of novels, yeah. I think, is what it kind of seems like.
Yep. And this movie, The Snowman, is basically, so Detective Harry Hole, he's an alcoholic. He's on the Oslo police force homicide. And they start, there's a murder and some missing people, and there's always a snowman is kind of the signature of the killer. So this is it's kind of like a thriller where we got to figure out who is this snowman who is killing all these people.
Yeah, and there's like seven characters that the movie centers around, so.
Hey.
It doesn't take too long.
No. Well, no, it doesn't. I'm going to stop pretending that this is anything worthwhile. One thing I did like about this, Parker, is the second unit had some great cinematography shots of the terrain.
Some what?
I was trying to say, like, yeah, I was trying to make up a word. But the second unit, when they just got the long shots of Norway.
Just the long, like, shots, like, on, like,
of
a drone
nature.
Or something.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. That was cool. Awesome.
Those are cool.
Landscape. Looked fucking frigid, but was something kind of cool.
Yeah, the movie does feel cold, appropriately.
Absolutely. I guess this is the second major film to be shot in Norway.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the other? What is the first one? With the dragon tattoo or something?
No, it wasn't even that. I don't think. Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
By the way, there's
downsizing. Downsizing. So international first two international movies. Then that downsizing is coming out later this
year. There's straight up 11 books with Harry Hole as the lead character in them. Just so you're aware.
You know the old saying, "Nothing gets out of a Harry Hole."
Yeah, nothing gets past Harry Hole.
So this movie, it starts off and we get to see the killer as a kid, and we've basically witnessed the moment that he becomes a murderer. He's living like a weird Harry Potter styled childhood.
Yeah, except for it's got way more incest and weird shit happening.
I don't even know if it is incest.
Isn't that okay? That guy is his uncle, and he's fucking his mother.
I don't think he is actually the uncle. I think that was the lie.
Oh, he's the dad, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yep. So that was the lie. So yeah, the kid basically finds out this guy thought who was his uncle this whole time was actually his dad, who comes over once a week to quiz him on Norwegian history, and then bang his mom. And then he finds out.
Healthy relationship.
Yep. And they live, like, literally on a lake. Like, the lake's frozen, and the house, the foundation was built on top of the frozen lake, apparently. and then the mom kills herself, basically, and sends the kid down a dark path. But we only see him as a kid at the beginning, sets the stage. And so there's a handful of people that could have done these murders, and it's pretty easy to figure it out.
Yep. that's about it. This movie's not great. When I saw this movie, I told Greg, that was the worst preview for a movie I've ever seen. To be fair, it was not the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's not. It's not. It's
It's not good.
I think people are they're jumping on the overhype machine a little bit. I mean, it is not a good movie, but it's not, you know, a lot of movie critics are trying to get the big headline of like.
Dude, it is. I mean, it is spectacular. It is insane.
Yeah.
Like it's nonsense. Like it doesn't make the movie doesn't flow or have any semblance of a plot that makes any sense at all. But you know what? And it's super disgusting and grossly violent and kind of overdoes that part of it.
Yep.
But you know what?
Fuck it.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'd rather them try that than just be super boring and really bad at what they do.
This fails spectacularly.
That's right. This is the director of this is Tom Elfredson, and if you guys don't know him, you know the movies that he's done. His first big movie was Let the Right One In, the original movie, which is a fucking awesome movie.
Yeah, that movie's great.
His second big one was Tinker Tailor Soldier. I have not seen
it. Tinker Tailor, yep.
But I've heard nothing but really good things about it.
I've seen it, and I didn't like it that much, but it was just really, really hard to follow. But it was well-liked. This movie was also extremely confusing and hard to follow, but I'm
totally
almost certain that's because it didn't make any sense at all.
Yep, a totally different reason why.
Yeah.
The movie was originally supposed to be directed by Martin Scorsese, so just imagine that. A Michael Fassbender starring movie directed by Scorsese, and then Scorsese drops out like a year before they're supposed to start shooting. And so if you're this director and your agent calls you and says, hey, Tom, listen to this, what I have lined up for you. Got a movie in the works. It's a thriller starring Fassbender. Scorsese, he was attached to it for years. It's his brainchild. Do you want to do it? You say yes. But you really should have asked some fucking questions about this script.
Yeah, man. This guy, the last movie he directed was actually Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is in 2011. So he basically came out of retirement to direct this.
Yes. Now, I was reading some quotes from the director talking about this movie. And the first one I'll read to you. I misread it, so first I'll tell you how I misread it, and then I'll tell you what the actual quote was. So what I thought he said was that when he took the project on, that the script was about 10% to 15% unfinished.
What?
So. That's how I read it, that the script was about 10 to 15% unfinished. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But then I reread it because my brain was trying to make sense of it. The actual thing he said was, we didn't get to shoot about 15% of the script. So they literally ran out of time and money. There was 15% more of this movie that never got shot.
Like, are you saying 5-0 or 1-5?
1-5. 15.
That's still a lot.
That's a shitload of explanations and just good scenes you need.
Okay, so Chloe Savini, or how do you, Chloe Savini? Whatever. She's in this movie and she plays a set of twin sisters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? Why?
Well, because they were running on time. They didn't have enough time to do anything else. It was supposed to be like, two just regular sisters, and fuck it, we'll just play both.
Okay, also, and we have to talk about the elephant in the room here when anyone watches this movie. So, Val Kilmer has throat cancer when he's in this movie, and looks like he's going to die. Like, I mean, we're
literally
all going to die, but...
I saw this movie with my mom. She wanted to see it because, like all moms, a good detective story, you know, the mystery of it. So
sure.
We went and saw it, and we're watching it, and we were the only two people in the theater. And a little bit into it, Val Kilmer's had a couple of scenes, and I lean over to her. I say, you know, that's Val Kilmer. She goes, yeah, I know. He looks terrible. Well, yes, well, he's dying.
What they do, he's got throat cancer, so he can't talk. So there's a lot of really bad dubbing going on.
Not really bad dubbing. This is like fucking college amateur dubbing.
I mean, it looks like some shit that would be getting lampooned on like Riff Tracks or Mystery Science Theater 3000. Like that level of dubbing.
Or like Tim and Eric.
Like, yeah, it's like a Tim and Eric style dubbing.
Like the voice sounds nothing like Val Kilmer, and the lips, it doesn't match at all.
Did you suppose he was actually making noise during those scenes?
Yes, yeah, I read he said that he was, his like tongue and throat were swollen from chemo. So he wasn't fully healed up. So it probably was just like unintelligible what he was saying.
Well, man, you know what? Good on Val Kilmer for still working.
Well, this was the other thing. If day one Val Kilmer shows up, because I'm sure he only shot about one day worth of stuff.
Yeah, there's no way he shot more than that.
No, but day one he shows up and he can't talk, get somebody else to do his parts. Reshoot it. Like, it's this easy. It happens constantly. You hear things all the time of actors. They filmed it and then they get fired on day two of the job and they go with somebody else. That's just another huge indictment on this fucking movie of how just it's the planning and execution was just so piss poor. It's unbelievable. I mean, it makes for a really memorable experience of Val Kilmer's voice being dubbed over, and every time he talks, they cut to the back of his head and his shoulders just bob up and
honestly,
down.
Honestly, aside from like the really horrendously unnecessarily grotesque scenes, I'd say the most memorable part of the movie, well, and the name Harry Hole, the most memorable part of the movie is the bizarre lip syncing done for the Val Kilmer scenes.
It's just so weird. And all of his scenes are basically useless. You could cut every single scene he was in and the movie would make just as much sense.
Yeah, man. I mean,
like the scene of him climbing to the top of a mountain, firing his gun so a bunch of seagulls, birds fly away.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too like spoilery on, I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, here's the thing. There's seven characters in this movie. If you don't know who the killer is by like the third time running over every single, like running into every character in the movie, you're really not paying attention.
Yes. But, or you've never seen like, one of these movies before.
Yeah, or you've never seen a really, really bad suspense, thriller, horror, gore porn movie before, I guess. But, like, I don't even know. I don't know.
You know, hold on. They don't even
don't
get
anything that's going on for this movie.
They fuck up right off the bat from the first murder. So the first murder after we see the kid experience that fucked up shit. But the very first murder is a lady walking to her car in a parking lot, and they fuck this up right away. She gets hit by a snowball in her back, presumably thrown, you know, 10, 20 feet behind her, and she turns around, nobody's there. She walks to her car in front of her, gets in it. There's a car parked right behind her. She pulls off the car, turns on, goes away. So right away I go, okay, there's two killers. There's two people. Because you can't throw a fucking snowball and be inside your car. Physics doesn't work like that.
No, he's just really, really fast.
Yep, he just is really good at engineering stuff to have
just
a snowball throwing machine.
Just think about how committed to the snowman theme this killer is. When he knows literally no one is watching, like except for him and this woman, he still throws the snowball at her.
Yeah, why? What's the point of throwing the snowball? You can just sit in your car and just follow her. Why, like,
yeah,
I'm going to really
over with your fucking car or just shoot her or, like, literally do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. What, like, it's a fucking snowball.
Yeah, dude.
And this movie has some of the worst CG I've seen in recent memory of, like, a
dude,
modern movie.
There's a scene, okay, the scene that you mentioned with the birds eating the corpse. The birds look like,
oh,
they're...
Oh, God.
They look like...
They're the,
like,
birds from the Windows 98 screensaver.
On top of the body eating it.
It's so bad. And, like, one of the main shots of the movie is somebody missing their head, and the killer puts the snowman head on the body. And that looks... It's just fucking laughable. It looks so bad. It's so unnecessary. They did so many CGI snowmen. You can make a real fucking snowman. It takes 5 seconds.
Those scenes with people's heads getting blown off, they were terrible.
Yes.
The CGI in that was fucking horrible.
But explain to me, like, every snowman in this movie is a CGI snowman, and it looks god awful. How do you not just have somebody on set that said, "You all right, John, go make a snowman for this scene." It takes 5 minutes, and it doesn't look fake as fuck. And it doesn't cost you anything either.
Yeah, they would have rather just paid a bunch of money to have one that looks like shit.
Oh, God. This movie was just... Now that I know that they didn't shoot 15% of the scenes, it makes so much sense, because nothing made sense. And I've never seen a movie like this where so much of the movie was redubbed after production, after they shot the movie. There's literal scenes where the assistant police officer, the guy, he's talking on the phone. You can see him talking, and his mouth is not moving, but the words are supposed to be coming out of his mouth. Like, they've redubbed probably about 50% of this movie. And it's remarkable. There's so many scenes where people walking with their backs and they just, like, redub in shit. It's just mind blowing how nobody gave a fuck at some point. You know, like, halfway through the movie, they're just like, you know what? This sucks already. Fuck it. Everyone just go home.
Like,
we'll
figure it out.
See,
I bet you if we saw, like, what actually happened with the production schedule of this, we'd see, like, tons of money being cut from the budget, like, kind of at the last second.
Well, the,
or, like, during production. I mean,
the director said one of the big things was that something happened where they had to go back to London. That's where they finished the film, so they didn't shoot most of it in Norway. So a lot of it is shot in London, and he blamed that was they had such a small schedule to shoot in London. That he said that's what kind of fucked him over.
Yeah. Well, this movie is not great.
But it's not terrible either. But that's the other thing. It's not, like, it's not insultingly
bad.
Yeah,
dude, I will say I was expecting to go in and see, like, an all-time terrible movie type thing. And it wasn't that bad.
No, oh, it wasn't laugh out loud the entire time at just how
there were
the
laugh
job.
Out loud moments.
There were, but not the entire movie.
No,
not for what it was. People were dubbing it as, you know.
Yeah. I think the media kind of gets a little cyclical or starts talking in circles about some of this, and a little pile on might start.
Do you want to say anything about the performances here, Parker?
They were all reasonably adequate. I mean, for a pretty, like, you know, Harry Hole is just kind of the hackneyed, the hackneyed cop who drinks too much and, will do anything to solve the crime. And he's got a young, attractive sidekick. And
it's, generic.
It's really generic. It's people do an adequate job. I mean, J.K. Simmons is noticeable in his role.
He's doing a very weird British accent.
Yeah, but it's certainly not a Norwegian accent.
Well, this was the weird thing. I wanted to ask you about this. This movie's set in Norway, in Oslo, and everyone's British.
Yeah, man. a lot of like World War II movies, when they're filming the Nazis, the Nazis all of a sudden just have German or British accents and speak English.
Yeah, I don't.
So I'm thinking it's just something like that.
I was thinking to start the movie, I thought like, oh, Michael Fassbender, Harry Hole, is a British detective that moved to Oslo to get away from his problems. That's what I was thinking right away. And then as slowly as it goes, I was like, wait, no,
because everyone's Hole, British. His family name is actually from a city in Norway called Hole.
Oh God.
Hole, Norway. There's actually a whole reason for him to be named Harry Hole. Well, not Harry.
Yeah.
Literally any other name.
Yeah. Jeff Hole.
Dude. Well, Jack Hole out. Hole's just a terrible name.
I said Jeff.
Name,
Jeff.
Sorry, listeners whose last names are
yeah.
Hole.
Yeah. Uh-oh. The other thing I read is that they went out of their way to get rid of any Norwegian writing on anything. Everything was in English. And this is just such a bizarre thing. Like, why were they so obsessed with that if this was supposed to be in Oslo?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, they went in and did CGI on, like, signs that were in Norwegian, and they just made it in English then. Like, what's the point of that? Why pay that close of attention to that detail when you didn't pay attention to any other details?
Yeah, like having a plot that like flows reasonably, yeah.
or having
like,
characters that say their lines
that are interesting, or having like anything up in the air at all about who the killer could possibly be.
Yeah. I do want to say before we start wrapping this up, J.K. Simmons has one of my new favorite moves of all time in this movie. So he's
the camera.
Yes. So he's like. He's like a multimillionaire. Was he like a developer of some sort? He's trying to get the Winter Olympics to Oslo, and he's apparently a ladies' man. He has people that just bring him ladies, and what he does when they walk up and they introduce, hey, this is my friend Nicole. Nicole, meet J.K. Simmons. He goes, he'll look him up and down and go, nice to meet you. Take his phone out with the flash on and take a picture about 6 inches away from their face.
6 inches away from their face with no warning.
And then just walk away. And then he'll just turn up and walk away. Oh, man, it was pretty funny. My mom was laughing super hard at the scene where J.K. Simmons is talking to one of the women. We won't say who it is, but J.K. Simmons talks to him, walks away, and then his assistant walks up, gives the girl his hotel room. And you can see J.K. Simmons in the background just, like, staring, like, peeking around the corner the whole time. And my mom's just laughing, like, what is he doing? He's, like, 5 feet behind them and just, like, staring.
You know what? This actually brings up a good idea for a future podcast with a bunch of people participating. What's the weirdest movie you ever saw with your mom?
That's a good topic to do.
I think I would have one that would be among the winners. I saw Varsity Blues in the theater with my mom.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's probably some competitors. But
I'm sure.
Yeah,
that one
got fucking weird. I was probably like 13 when it came out. So.
I know there's been many movies where there's like a pretty aggressive nudity or sex scenes where I've been watching with my mom and just thinking like, oh God, this is the worst.
Oh God, fuck. That one is rife for exploitation and exposition, I guess.
Yes. We don't need to talk about this very much longer.
Yeah, we can. Why don't we just do the scores? I can go first.
Yeah,
I think
go
you
for
went
it.
First. Okay. You know, you've heard what we said. It's not as bad as I wish it would have been. And it's certainly not as good as, a movie that someone spent $35 million on should be. But, you know, you're at home and it comes on TV and you want to be mildly entertained by a completely nonsensical plot with some kind of overwrought performances and just bizarre, grotesque, death scenes. hey, you may have found a suitor in the Snowman. I'll give it 3.5 stars. You know, it's fine. Whatever.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yep. You basically said everything that I wanted to say. It felt like this should have been a made for TV movie, essentially.
If this had been a made for TV movie in Norway, I bet it could have actually been good.
Or just a Norwegian, completely Norwegian movie. It would have been good.
Well, I feel like there's probably things that might translate better to an specifically a Norwegian audience. I will say, I do want to go to Norway after this.
Yes, yeah, that
beautiful,
was my biggest takeaway.
Beautiful looking landscape.
It looks awesome.
All right, I'm interrupting you.
Oh,
go for it.
Fuck you, man. This is just incompetence on many, many levels. But like you said, don't believe the hype that you see on all these reviews. It's not the worst thing you've seen. Take it from us. We've been doing a lot of Scotch stories. We've seen some shit. This is not anything. This is just, you know, a run-of-the-mill bad movie. Like, it's not great. It's not terrible. You don't have to go out of your way to see this. Don't spend any money on it. It's if it comes on Netflix and you're really bored, check it out. If it's on TNT, and
I wouldn't like actually click on something to see it. I was thinking like if I was going through the channels and it was just starting on HBO.
But if you saw if you're on Netflix and you see Fassbender is attached to it and you're like, oh, huh, and you've never heard of it, I'll check it out.
Hey man, Fassbender is a hard worker, man. He makes some bewildering choices in what to star in, but he's an active guy. He likes to work. You know, good on him. He puts out good performances too.
Exactly. This is don't actively go out and see this, but if you do see it, it's remarkable how many things went wrong in the production of this movie. I genuinely want to watch this movie with the commentary on it from the director or from the actors on it. Like, that would be awesome just to hear the director talk about the movie throughout it and just talk about the scenes and how fucked up they were. That would be pretty interesting. But yeah, for me, this is a 4 out of 10. It's not really,
okay, so
not really worth seeing.
Yeah, we're right in the same place then.
Well, what I told you this before we even, was it before we started recording? This movie got bumped for the sole reason that the main guy's name is Harry Hole. That got an extra point.
And honestly, they deserve to get shit on for having the lead character be named Harry Hole.
No, that's awesome. They should, more movies. More movies,
dude,
should do shit like this.
Anglicize that name. Make him Harold Howard or something. It doesn't fucking matter. His name is Harry Hole.
No, they need. This is a movement that Hollywood needs to get behind. More like Austin Power character names, like Harry Anus. That would be a great name for a new detective.
Colonel Angus.
Yep. Yep. He lives in Fridley and he solves crimes. I think we just stumbled on a new character.
Hey, after a long week at work, why couldn't the mummy relax?
Why?
Because he put his penis in the toaster. See, this movie doesn't make any sense, man.
Oh man,
shout out to Dr. Phil for that one.
Yeah.
All right,
Parker, where are you on at Twitter?
I'm at Mr. Pister, and I actually changed my handle, so my actual handle is now at Mr. Pister.
How do you spell that?
MrPisster.
Perfect.
Mr. Pister.
You can find me at Blurred Reviews. You can find both of us at Blurred Vision Reviews. Go ahead, download our episodes on iTunes or wherever you do it. Give us a review or a rating on iTunes. That's how we get hard these days. So
yeah, well, speak for yourself. I can't get hard.
Oh God, I'm sorry. I forgot.
That's fine. My life's way better now that I'm not bound to my
your dangus.
Erect to my dangus.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listened to the Foreigner review that Yinzer and I did.
I did not yet.
So apparently,
I was gonna listen.
Apparently, Yinzer claims that he is on Twitter, and that his Twitter name is PittsburghKid69. That's what he claims it to be. But
have you found him at Pitts? I'm looking right
now.
Oh,
I haven't even looked. I just laughed and assumed that was his AIM name, which I'm sure it was. So Yinzer was not able to make this review, but he will be. He'll be doing a Geostorm.
There's still PittsburghKid69 on Facebook. On Snapchat or whatever.
You're fucking wasted right now.
There's nothing on there, man.
Damn it.
Oh well.
Yeah. All right. Well, Parker, we're gonna get together this weekend. Maybe do a Scotch story, something like that, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Let's do it.
We'll keep the reviews coming. We'll see if I can trick you into going to Geostorm as well. All three of us can see the new legend, the new action hero, Gerard Butler. He's our generation's Mel Gibson.
Yeah, just 10 years or 11 years after his... Actually, when did 300 come out? That must have been 2006, so 11 years ago.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, all right.
Boom. All right.
All right, man.
Okay, well, make sure to shove as much stuff up into your hairy hole tonight.
Yeah, man. Hairy hole's out. He's about, and he's going to find the killer.
He's looking to fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.